I like the bubbles. They tickle my nose.
Ooh, you know where I put the bubbles.
Ooh, is that Lady Gaga champagne? Ooh.
We have a very, 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 really super duper special mom announcement. And also, Gaga likes champagne.
Star Wars drink picks and a tip spot from Alec Mappa. Stay tuned.
Forever Dog.
Ow.
Oh my gosh, did you...
Medic.
Excuse me, we have a venti for William. William, a venti. Venti chai.
We have a large green tea with almond milk steamed for Juno. Juno Justin's.
Juno Justin's. We want to welcome you back for another steaming, piping, scalding serving of hot goss. This is our weekly chat show where we talk about events in our lives, gossip and politics, and take a deep dive into the DMs. Let's get into some...
Oh, wow. I needed to take it down a level. Take off that Zanotti wedge. I see it. That neon wedge.
No, I love the wedge.
Okay, you can leave it on. But when you
these are custom Giuseppe Zanotti's.
Ooh. You have brown hair. You must be in a movie right now, ma'am.
I'm playing an Italian character in Italy. Being an Italian actor.
I heard while she's in Italy, she only gets around by gondola, even the places without water.
She always arrives perched on the side of the yacht.
A rosebud smelling.
Yes.
Perfect French twist, bitch. I love Gaga. God,
French
is Gaga.
Twist, bitch. Easter happened, if you haven't heard of it, it's a day where there's a celebration of
gay guys sending egg memes to their friends with eggs coming out of muscle bottoms butts.
This is Sloppy Pod. Sloppy Pod is probably going to track down the egg hatching gay meme where the guy is like sitting there and he's dressed like the Easter Bunny and he's got this cute smile and he's naked and then he's like, and then like an Easter egg comes out.
Yeah, and then three more come out because she did her shopping last night and she said, I'm just going to put the dye tabs in my mouth, swallow them, and then stick the eggs up my butt the next morning. And then they'll come out as they come out.
I've never seen this method of egg dyeing done before, but you know what? I like it, and the result was fabulous. Sloppy Pod, are you going to track down this model?
I would love to. The first time I ever saw someone do that gag was a drag queen named Cupcake in Austin, Texas. I played an Easter show and she laid a couple eggs. Mm. And I currently have a friend who likes to pull that trick with pool balls, but just when he's running errands. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh.
See, I think it would be great if she laid down that green Easter tinsel on the club floor before she did it. And I'm imagining it in like Oil Can Harry's in Austin. You know how the stage is kind of like a little like strip and then you step down in the middle of the floor and it's like a circle jerk around you basically with money. That. People on each other's shoulders. I saw a woman who's walked on my shoulders before, or I don't know, shoulders of greatness or something about shoulders. Miss Pretty Lady.
Oh,
she's this character about WeHo. I think her name's Ricky in real life. And she goes by Ricky too, but she wears like a cupless bra, so her moobs show, her man boobs. And she's usually in some sort of like brown like bobby hair with a bang and then some panties and garters, a little thong, very tan.
Does she ride a bike?
She rides a bike.
Yeah.
And sometimes she walks too. She smokes. She doesn't bother anybody. If you go and say hi to her, she's friendly. She'll take pictures with you because sometimes she has a Santa hat, even at Easter. But this Easter, she had bunny ears and she looked beautiful. And I was like, pretty lady. And I pulled over and I was like, can I take a picture with you? I haven't seen you in like a year. I miss you. You know, she's one of the people you always just see outside the bars and you say hi and you're like, I like your stockings, pretty lady. Like you talk to her. Yeah. And like, I saw her at Easter and then I put a picture up on Instagram and it got flagged for nudity. And like, I've had so many things flagged and Courtney's been my Instagram manager and she tells me that I lost 3,000 followers. I don't care, but it's weird. Like that would get, all of a sudden I get two things that flagged and then all of my numbers go down too. Like what is Instagram doing to gay people? They hate us, huh? They hate us. Like they'll flag people like saying hateful and transphobic things to us, we'll get flagged if we reply or something. Like Lockwood is getting flagged left and right. All the flagging. It's like Raya in a parking lot. She'll throw flagging? A flag. Yeah, she's a color guard girl.
She
does it at the gigs too. Latrice too.
She do.
Mm-hmm. But well, it's so strange.
I love your picture with Pretty Lady. And I love that you tagged Lady Bunny.
I forgot I was shady. Damn.
So
I surprise myself sometimes.
Was this in WeHo this Easter or was this a throwback picture?
No, it was in WeHo this Easter.
Wow.
I got
She's
a vaccine lovely. Last month and it was the one shot. And I think she had a mask on. I don't know. No, she was smoking.
Give
she didn't have a mask
one
on.
One shot.
Adrenaline.
Of Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, yeah. So I love that Pretty Lady's out and about and nothing can keep her down. What is your favorite thing about the spring? Do you enjoy spring? What's your favorite season?
I do. I mean, being in Pennsylvania is something I remember. I just had a stroke.
Remember.
Thank you for being here during this time with me. No, something I remember from growing up in Pennsylvania, winters are rough. Okay, in Erie. And there's always this day where it's like the first day that isn't cataclysmically freezing of the year. And it is greater and more joyous than any holiday could possibly be because it's like, oh my gosh, I can go outside without all these jackets and scarves and accoutrements on.
Go in the woods with other kids and play Come Springer.
Very well. I don't know what that is.
Oh, you never went in the woods?
We went in the woods, but I don't know what Come Springer is.
Guess.
Jerry Springer's.
It's like Rum Springer, brother. But better.
Oh, okay.
I have been loving this King Kong versus Godzilla movie. Have you seen that?
Yes, we watched it the other night.
Enjoyable.
You know, I was not expecting them to sing the song from the end of Chicago, the Roxy Hart and Velma Kelly song. Wasn't expecting them to break out into that song.
Kong and Zilla did Heaven Nowadays.
I never, I it really didn't see it. I did not see
the choreo. The choreo was great.
Fabulous.
And the way they incorporated lights, like, so great. We haven't seen it, but it's on the outline.
No, I saw it.
You did? I haven't.
Yes.
I have not at all. I saw the preview, and I was like, that looks cool. When's it come out? And then I've been too busy to watch it. But I haven't been too busy to watch short-form entertainment like Gaga in her Dom Perignon ad. Honey, I always have at least a minute for her.
Right. We're all gagged whenever Mother does anything, but really the look, the styling, the vibe. It also makes me want to try drinking champagne, which I've never.
I'd like to stay and drink my first champagne, Gaga. Honey, I'm going to start drinking. I haven't had a drink in 6 years, and I'm going to be dunking my Chromatica Oreos into the goddamn Dom, all right? And then I'm going to put my ponytail on and whip it around. And we'll play Chromatica. We'll do some Gaga trivia. It'll be enjoyable.
Okay, I am down and I'm there. So wait, we have a Gaga-related annal from the mailbox. Mm. Do you want to read it? A communique? Sure.
Aaron,
a dossier?
Aaron says, good evening, Dolls and Dip. This is an urgent matter, so I must get right into it. As we have established, God is a Gaga, and us fags would do anything for a drop of extra Gaga content. Well, Gaga has confirmed previously that she made a whole Act 2 for Art Pop, but it hasn't been released. The news has been spread across the community recently, and a petition has been circling the web for Gaga to release Act 2 in hopes that she sees the support and feels the encouragement and support from the fans as big issue with the era was the lack of praise that she should have received. Now, I know you Davis live for Art Pop, especially Alaska, what with the Justice for Art Pop show, $3 bill. And I was wondering if you Divas would share the petition I've linked below so your listeners can sign and support. As they say, power in numbers. Thank you for the continuous amazing content, including the Behind the Great Paywall. And please keep up the incredible work. Love, Aaron. And then he put the link up.
Wow. Thank you, Aaron, for sharing that.
There are 32,800 people who have signed this petition.
Okay. Well, good. That's a lot. Yeah. I mean, I think that anyone who loves Lady Gaga, no one would say, I don't want to hear the other tracks from Art Pop that didn't get released. We all do.
Yeah.
It was a very groundbreaking record. It was under-celebrated, like Aaron said at the time. But I think it has come to be recognized as one of her, you know, coolest eras and one of her coolest albums. I would love to hear it. But I also do not think that Lady Gaga is someone who wants to be told what to do as an artist.
Good luck.
So, like, go ahead, like, sign the petition, but she does not want you to tell her. She's going to tell you what is coming next.
Yeah, I feel like she would sign the petition just to be cunty and then, like, lock it further in a vault.
Mm-hmm. But who knows?
Sometimes you make a dress and then you don't want to wear it anymore. And sometimes you make a song and you don't want to release it. I have stuff I haven't released that will never see the light of day. And I have stuff that's out that shouldn't. Stubble on the Floor is a bop.
It is. It's a banger and a bop all at once.
You know what I've been bopping to, other than sitting alone in the VIP? Some podcasts. I listened to Raja and Delta on the way out to Palm Springs and back. And they were getting into SoCal things, and they mentioned specific parties that I was at. And I was like, I was at that one. I remember the flyer. Is. It was like the DVD release of Cleopatra, and Delta and Raja was there, and Delta was a mummy, or Raja was a mummy. And I was living because I was like, I was there. Like, it's crazy. So it's like finding yourself in an extra scene, like with 300 people, you're like, that's me. Where's Willem?
Pause it right there. Pause it at 3:11:14, and you will then see the side of my head.
Yeah, just the ponytail. What podcasts have you been listening to this week?
Well, we have a very special mom announcement to share with you. As you know, okay, we love the art form of podcasting. We love our sisters. And it just seemed right that we should figure out a way to get more quality content from our sisters to your ears.
And we're very excited to announce that we have a new show debuting on the Mom Network this coming Monday, April 12th. Ooh. That's the 12th of April.
This is a brand new show. If you want to learn what it is, we're not going to spill it all right here. Go on over to Entertainment Weekly today, and maybe you'll see something about a certain Rue girl, a top Rue girl, launching a little show about fashion and TV and things here on the Mom Network. We're so excited about this. Oh, my God.
Oh my God. She just talks about podcasting. And this is the first of a few announcements that Mom is springing on you this spring and summer. So stay tuned for many more Mom offerings. And thank you for listening, because we couldn't do this without y'all.
Really thank you. And we're really excited for some big stuff coming soon, guys.
Big announcements. Stay tuned.
Can't wait to share this with you guys.
Announcement really, in 23 hours, 59 seconds.
But seriously, go to Entertainment Weekly. You'll know what we're talking about. And we have some more announcements coming very soon. But until we're going to take a break. But now, you girl, the name on everybody's lips is Vaxi. Everybody's trying to get a vaccine. Everybody should be getting a vaccine. And so there's this hot song by dear friend of the pod, Nick Laughlin, and Sour Pickles Music. And it's a parody, and it's called Gimme, Gimme, Gimme a Vaccine Appointment. And the music video is sickening. It's beautifully shot. Nick choreographed the whole thing, dances throughout the whole last thing. And it's
she
really
is
an
her
amazing
own dance
production.
Call.
She really is. And it's really catchy. So check it out. And we're going to listen to a little bit of it here.
The Sour right Pickles.
The Sour Pickles.
Love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime. Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones. And, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite, and you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take down time and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you, and then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
This is the moment where we say,
let's get political.
That's right. This is marijuana is legal in New York. New York has become the 15th state to legalize marijuana. Under the new law, people 21 and older will be able to grow and use marijuana, and it will automatically expunge people's criminal records of marijuana offenses that are no longer legal. New York will also set up a regulated legal marijuana market with new tax revenues directed to education, drug treatment and prevention, and communities disproportionately hurt by the war on drugs.
In the
what, am I reading this right?
Yep.
This is good.
This is amazing news. In the wake of New York's decision to legalize marijuana earlier this week, Democratic Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he's ready to move on federal marijuana reform. Oh, my God. The war on marijuana in particular has cost the U.S. billions of dollars over decades, led to a black market for pot that criminal organizations use to fund violent operations, mm-hmm. and contributed to the explosive growth of America's incarcerated population, particularly of black and brown people, which is now the largest in the world. There's some facts. Hit it. Hit us.
Black Americans are four times as likely to be arrested for cannabis possession than white Americans, even though both use it equally.
In 2018, 40% of all drug arrests were for cannabis.
In 2017, there were more arrests for cannabis possession than all violent crimes combined.
And there are currently people serving life sentences for cannabis use in America.
This is the type of reform that has to happen. And it's very hopeful to see that New York is taking steps in the right direction. Congratulations, yeah. New York.
And whoever this Schumer guy is, I hope the federal stuff passes too, because life sentences for a little bit of pot, that's foolish for so many reasons, including they have to pay for a man. All the costs of keeping a prisoner in a prison cost more than his little probably whatever marijuana he got sent to jail for, because he's going to be there his whole life. The state or whoever, somebody, some federalized institution is, never mind, I'm gonna keep this short, y'all know what I mean.
Yeah.
And crazy,
the expungement is like, that's the key, because
yes, expunge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They should not be on anyone's record.
Not at all. Yeah. There's another couple things that went on record this week. We talked about the Arkansas anti-trans bill that was going on, I think, last week. This week, the Arkansas legislature voted this week to override Governor Hutchinson's veto of a bill banning doctors from giving trans youth gender-affirming treatments. The bill is now a law in Arkansas, though it is set to take effect this summer. Trans activists, parents of trans kids, and the medical community have rallied against the legislation, and opponents are planning to challenge it in court. So that's good. But March 2021, Governor mm-hmm. Hutchinson signed into law a bill that bans trans women and girls from participating in school sports consistent with their gender identity. However, he vetoed the anti-trans healthcare bill Monday, calling it government overreach. So this is crazy.
We thought it was getting vetoed, and then
the Senate overrode the veto.
The Senate overrode it. That's fucked.
And people were excited that he vetoed it. They were like, look at this guy, he vetoed the bill. But it's like, literally last month, he signed the bill that banned trans teenage athletes from competing in athletic sports.
We just need to rename this segment, like, how are Republicans fucking people this week?
Yes. Right.
But it doesn't have a jingle, so.
Could you say? Oh, well. It?
How are Republicans fucking people this week?
What if we do? How are Republicans fucking people? How are. Oh, wait, that's physical. Oh, that's political. Oh, yeah. I was like, why did I do it to physical? Duh. Okay, yeah. I don't know. We're going to have a better next segment, because this is going to be a tip spot with our girlfriend, Alec Mappa. So come back and listen to us a little bit.
We'll be right back. The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit,
scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app. Oh, we are back.
We're back.
Girls, you know what time it is.
It is the tip spot.
Oh my God.
We want to give just the best kind of applause and light to the young girls in town, the new girls, fresh off the bus.
Yes.
Wigging a dream.
Yes.
And we are proud to welcome to the stage
the 10 dancing toes of our tip spot this week, the one and only, the incomparable. Alec Mappa! Yes.
Hey, girl.
Hi.
Hi, beauty. It's so
What's
good to see
spot?
You.
What's a tip spot? I thought, is it like I get a tip? Do I get tipped? Is there a
tip
jar?
If you do well, yeah.
All right, yeah. But otherwise, I'm just going to be another filler queen. I'm learning all the lingo of you kids. You both look so gorgeous.
Thanks for filler queens.
So do you.
You're very attractive out of all the frocks. So do you get more sexual attention in or out of drag?
From behind or the front?
Location. That was my question. Because Lady Bunny's always talking about getting attacked in drag. Like, she gets a lot of attention, male attention. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that for you two, how aggressive does that get when you're a lady?
I like it when it's aggressive, so I'm fine with it.
Yes?
If they're usually
When does it become too much?
When it's at the point where I've, like, moved their hand away and they're doing it again. At that point, your dick in now. No more hands.
Right.
Oh, wow. I don't want to have to say it twice.
Is that somebody who wants you like that? Dressed up or...
If they're at the bar and I'm looking like that, or I'm looking like that and they're talking to me and giving me that attention, I take it as, sure, like, fair game. But once at Hamburger Mary's, I gave Kelly Mantle's number to this guy that was talking to me, and she was next to me. And then the next week, he came back to the bar, and he's like, "Thanks for your friend's number." I was like, "Why?" And I was like, "Oh, work."
Wow.
Because you know, I was busy, so you know, give one to your sister.
Alaska, are you approachable, or is it a look, don't touch situation?
Yeah, never touch the wild animal. Don't feed the wild animal.
Somebody touched Jackie Beat on stage on an Atlantis cruise we were doing together, and she screamed at this person, I'll never forget it, don't ever touch me again. I'm a world famous drag queen and you're a nameless, faceless nobody.
Jackie!
So lovable.
Well, and direct.
Just so lovable.
Did you like getting touched when you were a drag queen in Connie and Carla as Cream?
Yes.
Half of Peach's Cream.
David Duchovny, as you know, it's been documented on the internet, has a notoriously large penis, and he doesn't wear any underwear.
Mm. Oh my God.
And we were shooting a scene together where he's standing right in front of me, and it was that kind of dick that like comes out and then down.
Yeah.
And then down. And then we could see, like, what they call on UK drag race, the bell end was like, I could see the head.
So you know, all the lingo.
It looked like a baby's arm holding another baby's arm holding a small pumpkin. And I was hypnotized and I could not stop staring at it. And David, you know, just kind of in that straight guy way, said, take a picture, it lasts longer. I said, if you don't want me to look at that, you're going to have to poke out both my eyes out with a fork. So unless you strap it down. And he was very handsy with the girls that on set when I was in drag. And I was 120 pounds, y'all. So I was a petite little thing.
Yeah.
But then I
found out later. So you've lost more weight?
Huh?
You're like 115 now, aren't you?
Yes. Oh, thank you. God bless you. Never again. I'm still trying to lose the baby weight.
You adopted a girl.
I found out later on that he's a sex addict, so all of a sudden the attention didn't feel all that special.
That makes sense with Californication too, because he played a sex addict so well.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I have to watch that program. We were talking earlier about your Saint Bernard, and I had done, not one to throw my credits around, but I was in one of the Beethoven sequels.
Where?
There were...
Which puppy did you play?
What? Which nothing. Puppy? Yeah, I Beethoven, puppy play. I had a butt plug tail that kept on falling out. So it was with Jonathan Silverman. We were shooting up in Canada, and there were four St. Bernards, and the one that always worked with me whenever we had a scene together would get an erection.
He liked you.
And it was, and it would, it never failed. And so we were calling the movie Beethoven's Lipstick.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was my little baby.
Ravishing Red.
Aww.
So cute.
May she rest in peace. Alaska, do you have a dog? Are you a dog person?
No, I love dogs, but I don't own one. But I love
I've seen some of your drag daughters.
Dog ass Mo.
That's a good one. Who has drag daughters?
I do. I have.
How many?
I have one,
who's
two.
Your drag
I have three. My first drag daughter, my oldest, is, and she's so independent. I'm so proud of her. Neil, when she did Hedwig.
Oh, yes, of course.
Who's mm-hmm. your drag mom? And then my second drag daughter, my middle child, Ty. Just Ty. Mm-hmm. She's a beautiful, blonde, free spirit entrepreneur.
Wow.
And then my third child is Dr. Patrice Pastabody. When my best friend Anthony gets up in the gigs.
Watch out for her. She's pretty.
Honey.
Uh-oh. There's a bell.
That's a good thing.
Bell end.
There's a bell end. Do you have a drag daughter, Alaska?
I sure do. Her name's Nebraska.
Oh, that's right.
She's really good at voguing. Look up her her
she's
voguing.
A tall lady.
She's so tall. She's so gorgeous. I love her. Hello,
she's actually
Nebraska.
Two twinks stacked together.
Right, in a trench coat.
Yeah,
now, absolutely.
How does that work? I mean, like, do you choose the drag daughter? Or is the drag daughter choose you? Can any booger walk up to you and go, will you be my mommy?
I think the Lord chooses that.
Yeah, you kind of know when it's right because a lot more people ask than what you should actually accept.
Right.
But also, you can also win a spot in a family. Like Erica Andrews had 17 drag kids because she would always have pageants. And like anybody could win back then. There's an AFAB girl who's an Andrews that I know named Leslie. And she won that Andrews pageant like back in the day. Erica was all inclusive. And so she had 17 kids. She had a lot of kids, a lot of babies.
But what does that mean? It's like, do you walk them through makeup and hair and comportment?
Sometimes you just get them to steal stuff for you that you want from where they work, their day job.
Sometimes RuPaul says that you get to choose from these gay veterans, and that's what I did. That's how we came together. And it's very unusual, I think, when you do the makeover challenge and you're sort of paired with a stranger. Hmm. Like, I have since become really close with Mackenzie and gotten to know her more. And she continued doing drag after Drag Race, which is also...
Your fault.
I'll take the blame. I hate it. Live.
You unleash that into the world.
Unleash the beast.
I've seen her in Vegas a bunch of times. Like,
are you okay?
I'm in Vegas. She's there with Derek and the other one.
Oh, I love them.
Nick San Pedro.
Yeah,
I love them all.
The threesome.
She's just got long arms, and when she vogues, I don't want to get hit.
Even in
the second row.
They got a duck.
So Alec.
Yeah.
Listen, we know you from everywhere.
Everything.
I mean, you've been on so many TV shows. Do you have a running count of like how many TV shows?
No, and you know what? It seems like a lot, but I go 6 months without working, 8 months without working, and then I'll work a lot, and then I'll just do stand up and be like, oh, it's all over. Like I just did a pilot with Alec Baldwin and Kelsey Grammer, and literally a month before it, I was like, well, you know, I had a pretty good run for somebody who looks and sounds like me.
Yeah.
You know, I have a body of work I can look back on. So it always feels like the end. And then when I get a job, it feels like I've always been doing it.
Right.
Honey,
it's a weird thing. Yeah.
You've been doing it for so long. I remember Half and Half. I started watching that because my aunt directed some episodes. And then Suzuki.
Suzuki Chapier on Ugly Betty. Yeah.
Suzuki was my favorite part of the episode because she said exactly what I was thinking usually.
She was the Greek chorus of the show. And originally, they had that spot. It was cast with different people the first season. So Joan Rivers would do the fashion report and Tim Gunn did the fashion report. And Kathy Griffin did it at one point. And then they were like, we just have to have one person. But who's it going to be? And I was asked to do the GLAAD Awards to do stand-up. And they asked me to do it for free. And I was really grumpy about it. I was like, free? You guys have all this money and there's going to be all these movies. So I was like, my husband was like, go out. Exactly. My husband was like, go out and make some money.
Work, you know. Jamie. Getting that hoe on the like, corner.
He's like, show your fucking face. Everybody's going to be
shake
there.
Shake your ass so, proper.
Yeah, so I did stand up and that's how I got Ugly Betty. So kids, if you have to do something that's free sometimes, but I was really a dick about it going there. I was like, I can't believe these faggots.
But did they get you a car?
No.
No service.
It's so true. It's like sometimes you get paid in other ways. And you obviously did. You get paid in a connection or you meet somebody or somebody sees you doing.
Right. Well, exactly. You two have been really great at building the enterprise post pageant, post Drag Race.
Yeah.
Like not everybody's done that. I saw people at DragCon just sitting there at their autograph booths and people were like, who's she? Like, like not everybody was able to keep the party going afterwards.
Yeah. Well, Alaska's so smart that like everything that comes out of her brain, which is like one word a minute on average, but they're brilliant words. Like you wait for the next drop. Like sure, her content is so sickening. I'm such a fan of it. And yeah. I just won't go away. So.
I remember seeing you at Precinct and in the before time, Alaska, and you were performing and you did This Is My Hair, I Don't Wear Wigs.
Oh yeah.
And the whole audience knew all the lyrics.
Yeah.
And were shouting it at you. And I was like, this is a phenomenon. She's it. I was very impressed.
Well, thank you. Luckily, there's only four words in the song. So it is easy to.
Anybody can sing along. And Willem, you had such a long line that you could just be in a lounge chair.
Yeah.
I was very clever.
I was really happy. If you keep your prices low, they come back. Always have a little couple things on the counter for them to steal, too.
How much do you charge? How much
I don't charge. I've never charged for a photo at DragCon ever. It's if you get in line and buy something, I'd love to take a picture with you. If you don't buy something, I'd still love to take a picture with you. I always looked at it as like someone going to Disneyland and then Mickey asking for money.
Yeah.
That would be totally fine. But for me, like, this is my chance to, like, say thank you and to sell a shit ton of merch. And,
okay, so you exit through the gift shop situation.
They go in through the gift shop because then they buy stuff for me to sign or to, like, bite.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah,
enter.
Now, yeah. Alaska, do you charge?
What, for sex? Yes, I do.
I've seen the pictures.
I actually don't. I tried being a sex worker and I wasn't making any money doing it, so I had to take a different approach.
Sex worker.
Did you? Somebody got kicked out of DragCon for sucking dick in the bathroom, and I was so proud. I ran after them, and I was like, "I'm a vendor here. You can't get me out."
Somebody you know?
I've seen him on the internet. He's this guy from Washington D.C.
I'd imagine like they have to change a couple things at DragCon in order to make it better. When the lighting, if they brought down all the lighting, you know, the fluorescent lighting, and did their own lighting like a show and made it dark, like made it nighttime inside, but it was lit overhead like with like really nice lighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, World Wonder would not pay for that at all. That would be so expensive.
Because the fluorescent
and
lights are just a fucking nightmare.
Boner kill.
There should be more bars, more alcohol. In the
Thank
hall.
You. Yes.
There's like two alcohol places in the whole place. So for those of us who are big drunks, that was kind of stressful. But but the kids loved it. I've been taking my kid to DragCon since he was seven. A little kid.
Word.
Yeah.
I bet he likes the rides, huh?
He does like the rides. They even had a bouncy house one year.
Word. Yeah. I got in it. Yeah, I remember that. You've been to like everywhere and you've hosted tons of, I'm sure you've done panels at Drag Race, but you hosted the AVN Gay Porn Awards one time.
Yes. You should what do that. That is a fun gig.
I hosted Hustle Ball in like 2006, I think, with Bruce Valanche, and I saw him blow in a twink and I was like, work, Bruce.
You meet everybody. Yeah. Like everybody you've ever masturbated to. You meet them in person. And talk about like Disneyland. You know, while you're there, you see their fans approach them. Like the fans are like 5 year olds meeting Snow White at Disneyland. They're like,
oh my god.
Yeah.
I was glued to the side of Raheem Strickland. If you've ever seen him.
Honey, Raheem. He just did that movie with Colin, that new boy.
Oh my god. His dick just keeps going. It doesn't end.
He came like up to my car window once because I was dropping off my friend to film with him, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Unlock this door immediately.
He's beautiful. With your penis.
Yes.
Like, smash this window. Like, when he's fucking somebody in a movie and he pulls out, it just keeps going.
Right.
And so I was, like, so blatant. I was like, I'm going to attach myself to you for the whole evening. I'm never going to get this chance again. And I'm not apologizing.
No. And he probably, he loves the attention. So yeah, I'm sure it's fine.
He was bashful.
Honey.
Yeah, so... you should do that gig, both of you. I did it this year online, which was lame, with Sherry Vine. Usually you get a trip to Las Vegas at a decent hotel room.
Right.
And there's a party the night before the show, and then there's a party after the show. And I did it with 1 year with Alyssa Edwards and Shangela. And seeing Edwards and Shangela backstage with a bunch of porn stars is super fun. That's a good time.
Were they on time? Vibe.
No.
Okay.
No, they weren't. I had to stretch. I had to stretch at the Gay Porn Awards. I had to get it.
Do it in the shower.
I was doing the intro, and then somebody was waving at me from the stage, like, keep going. She's not ready. And I had to fucking do crowd work out in the audience, which I'm not a big fan of.
They made you do floor work?
Yeah. I had to go from table to table. Hey, where are you from? Are you drunk? Yeah, just the worst.
I've heard your podcast, and that's actually the best. Do you like podcasting?
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, it's so good.
I love it. I have two podcasts. I'm the official host of the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, which is the RuCap. You know, it's just kind of like, it's so easy. And I said, they asked me to do it. And I was like, I'll do it for money. And they went, okay. And I was like, oh wow. I've never got used to being paid by World of Wonder. But I was like, all right. And then the other thing I have is a mental health podcast with Matthew Dempsey, psychotherapist, which Alaska was on, where I'm just trying to take the stigma out of talking about mental health. Because I had chemical depression for years and I never got any help because I was embarrassed and I thought it was something I should be able to take care of. And then I got meds and help and now everything's great.
Nice. I haven't heard that one, but I probably wouldn't be welcome as a guest because I put Matthew on the beat down. There's this video where he's like,
what happened? Oh. He told me there was something like,
I guess he didn't. He didn't find it as funny as I did, but like he's walking through a field and like playing with daisies and he's definitely shirtless at some point. Yeah. And I just like took the piss out of it a little bit. And like his friends are my friends too. And some of them told me like he was not happy. And I was like, oh, I didn't mean to make him unhappy, but I also don't care.
Okay. So I'll send you the link. You made fun of him on the show.
Yeah, and just like it's you're in Runyon, you're like, oh, I love to get lost or wherever, and like you know where you are, girl. You're not lost in a field contemplating nothing. You're beautiful. Calm down. Go home. yeah, I don't know. I don't think I would.
She's actually a really good therapist, and the balance between us is I'm a total clown, so I'll talk openly about my sex addiction and my lowest points and you know, horrible sex stories where I end up with egg and poo in my face. And he'll break down things psychologically and therapeutically, but I feel like I am there. What I've helped him do is take himself less seriously.
Good. Yeah. That's perfect. I think she needed that.
I loved the podcast so much. It was fabulous. It was like an amazing therapy session. And it was just really fun talking to you. And it was great talking to you today. We're so glad you stopped by.
Well, you said great things on the podcast, especially about social media, about like how you were buoyed by it when it was on your side.
Yeah.
And then you had to endure what happened when everybody, all of social media turned against you and your conclusion. I was listening to it the other day. It was so good. Was that it's not real. That that the reactions have nothing to do with me and it's not real. So it doesn't even affect you anymore. And I thought that was just genius and wonderful and something we all needed to hear.
That's sword tea. Cuts both ways.
Yeah. Am I going now? Is it time for me to fuck
Do you want to come? Do you want to come back and join us for the next segment? I mean, there's stuff we could talk about. Always. We have like, you'll see. You'll see. I just need to go do a bump. I'll be back.
Okay.
I'm back. Ooh.
How's that feel?
Ooh, back of my throat. Drip. Drip, 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 Keisha.
I once did so much coke at a party in New York City that I lost my swallowing reflex. I couldn't swallow. And I was choking to death in Astroplast. You know, that cube, that huge cube. And I forced myself to throw up. I barfed in front of the cube, like everything came out. And in true New York fashion, people just walked past me. Nobody was like, are you okay? Are you? And I was like, thank God. Like, it was like if I was in any other place, you know, a janitor would show up with a bucket of sawdust or something. But it was like, you know.
Right.
Are you a coke person?
I've done coke twice in my life. So that someone said the best pickup line ever is when a guy comes up and says, coke or K? Like,
I've never had K. It doesn't sound like fun. Ooh. I've seen enough people in K holes. Uh-huh. Where they're like, I'm dying. I can't.
The K special, Candy Muse.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like fun.
I like
you're
it.
Like, you don't drink or nothing, right? You don't drink?
Uh-uh, not for like 6
that's
years.
That's why you're so skinny.
Body by Marky. Are you, did you see, I've also taken up pole dancing because I want to be like Little Nas.
Love it.
And I got a pole at my house, so I'm trying
fantastic. In Palm Springs?
Mm-hmm, and she's a spinner, just like her mom.
Oh my god!
Come over.
I love it out there. I never got it when I first got to LA. I was like, what is the big fucking deal? And now I'm like, the minute I see the windmills and the minute you just go around that hill and it's you're in town, I'm like so relaxed. Alaska, are you a Palm Springs person?
Love it. Love it so much.
Hey, we're going to go in a cave right now and answer some questions from some people. That's where we get our mail, in the cave.
In the cave.
Uh-huh. This is a moment where we go spelunking. Deep inside the DMs. This message is from a robot. I'm going to read it. Okay. Greetings, Alaska Kin Skywalker, Obi Willem Kenobi, and Darth Dipper. Upon hearing that Alaska has now watched Star Wars, I simply must know if she was aware that the one and only Dorothy Zbornak herself was a part of the franchise, albeit the Star Wars Holiday Special that was a complete flop and only aired once on TV, but I'm told B was one of the better parts of the special. She's a singing barmaid and is, of course, utterly fabulous. Here is the link if you dare to watch, but be warned, there's a baby Wookiee that's mildly terrifying. May the Force be with you always. C3P flow.
Work.
Should we watch it, Dipper? Can you put it on the screen?
Don't forget me in your dreams. Just one more song, friend, and then so long, friend. The nights get shorter, it seems.
Ooh, look at her fall.
She better work with that long
just
ponytail.
Just one more rhyme, friend. Yes, it's a
rhyme,
friend.
How is that trippy?
She's outstanding. Wow.
Amazing.
What?
The range.
An unlikely person to become astronomically famous is Bea Arthur.
Yeah.
Is that a correct assessment? Like, when I look at her, there's nothing about her that says, like, this person should be one of the most famed actors in the whole world. She was, like, older in her life when she got really famous. She has this fucking deep voice. She's fucking... I fucking love her so much.
Well, she was a stage actress who had been in two like mega successful musicals. She was the original Yenta in Fiddler on the Roof. And then she was in Mame on Broadway with Angela Lansbury. And by the time she was added to the cast of her first episode on All in the Family, where she plays Edith Bunker's cousin, coming to take care of both of them because they're sick. Cousin Maudie is here. I think Cousin Maude is the name of the episode. She walks away with the entire episode. Like, you can't watch anybody else. And it was so clear that she'd spent the years and years and years in the trenches, toiling in obscurity, kind of like only known in New York City. And she was ready for that moment.
Did they give her a show? Did Maude, the series, come out of that guest spot? Or was it a backdoor pilot?
Yeah. It came out of All in the Family. They developed, Norman Lear developed the character of this ultra-liberal woman out in New York suburbs. And Esther Rolle played her maid, Florida, and she ended up getting a spinoff to Good Times.
And isn't that Lenny Kravitz's mom?
No, that is Roxy Roker, who was on The Jeffersons.
My bad.
Which was also a spinoff from All in the Family, because The Jeffersons lived next door to... the Bunkers originally.
It's like the Mom Podcast Network, honey.
Here you go.
We have another letter. This is from Hick, hot in Chicago. Hi, you bad, bad motherfucking and father fucking bitches. I have a question about the confessional looks. I heard you have to send in pictures of three possible looks for your confessional look, and the producers would pick what you'd wear. But I also know that they played fast and loose in the day with the different look for each day of the confessionals, resulting in queens changing outfits mid-confessional. So, what's your experience? Are there stipulations with what you're allowed to wear? No certain colors, no shiny clothes, no brands. And did you have any modus operandi for picking your confessional outfits? Thank you, hot in Chicago.
Wow.
Now they're strict with it. Before my season, you could wear whatever you want, but then that's how the kids would be able to tell, oh, he wore that in this episode. He's not talking about that right now. They're using it from another episode because they would Delta change shirts in the workroom three different times in one conversation. And we've said this so many times, it's just a clear example of great editing. And now they're like so careful. You send in your outfits, you send in pictures. And then they keep the outfit there so you can't change it. And one girl I know, she like changed something on like her hat or her hair curl. So each episode she could tell like what was going on. I forget who would ever be so duplicitous though.
Yeah, girl, season five was like the bad old days where you just wore whatever the fuck you were wearing at the end of the day. Sometimes I had giant black contacts in. Sometimes my eyeliner was smeared down my face and a hat and different, like... A yellow cardigan with a fucking ray of light fucking shirt.
I remember.
And then All Stars, they were like, yes, please send us photos of your looks for approval. I wanted to wear a fucking tank top with a harness, and they sort of laughed at me. They were like, you're not wearing that. I was like, so I went with a conservative button-up blouse. I think that was more the storyline that we were going for.
Wow. They have the show down to a science now. It seems like they have a very specific idea of what they want. Like, even the music, the tuk, 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 has not changed.
Yeah. I think that some of the girls, their confessional outfits have been like so sickening that they can do merch with it. But other girls, they're just like, they look like they just, my seasons, half of us look like they told us, get out of makeup. No, you can't go to the sink. Just use those wipes and then come up and be interviewed as a boy under these bright lights. So we look like hamburger. That's why we always had hats and scarves and stuff. Our hair looked a wreck. Our skin was like ravaged. They're like, no, sit under all these lights. We're going to film you.
And now some of them are in full beat as boys.
Oh, they look good now.
They like end up real quick.
Beautiful. The fashions. I mean, it's another fashion category. Like they turn looks in that chair and the makeup. I tell you, the daytime out of drag makeup has really advanced since.
Oh, yeah.
Since Drag Race started.
We're going to advance to another question. It's a long one, but a good one.
This comes from H. Dear Alaska, Willem, Big Dipper, Race Chaser Pod listeners, and any and all distinguished guest or guests. Longtime listener, first time writer, I love your body of work and the entire lineup of the Mom Network. Keep it up, queens. I am seeking advice. Started hanging out with this guy back in mid-2019, usually a one-on-one situation, going to bars, clubs, brunch, etc., but nothing ever sexual, and quickly fell for him. However, I did not tell him how I felt back then because of previous experiences, fear, rejection, unrequited love, friend-zoned, etc., and I was also being cautious and wanted to make sure that I wasn't just in lust with him. We didn't hang out as much toward the end of 2019 and start of 2020, traveling. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. We saw each other at the end of May 2020 before he left the city for Miami. I gave him face masks to take. We talked, texted, and DM'd, etc. since then. In some way, I was hoping that the distance would help me somehow get over him. Of course, I was wrong, and more so since he recently told me about a potential hookup he had. It made me jealous, but I acted as if it didn't bother me, and I recognize that jealousy serves me no good since he is free to do as he pleases. After all, we are not in a romantic relationship. It also made me realize that that my feelings for him are still strong. He doesn't plan on coming back to the city in the near future, but has often told me I should come visit him. I've refrained from taking him up on this offer because of the pandemic and because I'm afraid of blurting out how I feel and potentially having to let go of a good friendship. I hate the idea of telling him how I feel over the phone. I'd prefer in person, but given the situation, should I just do it? If I decide to visit him, I'm tempted to tell him then. I worry it may be too late and could ruin our reunion. What are your thoughts? Mom, help me. Attached are a few select XXX pics for your viewing pleasure. I saw the email is long. I know the email is long, but I appreciate your time for reading. Thank you. Slay safely. Yours truly, H.
And I appreciate the time you put into these pictures.
Wow.
We got the.
Do you think that email could have been three sentences, actually?
Yeah.
It could have been a lot shorter, but the dick more than makes up for it. And the ass in the multiple poses. And then the dick and ass together, splayed out from behind like one of those Cornish game hens that you have to smash before you cook.
Same. And for size comparison, he put his dick next to this Empire State Building, just so you can see the scale.
Just so you know, just to drive home the message. Well, listen, I've been this girl. I was always kind of attracted to guys who didn't text back and weren't into me. And I asked my therapist about it, and he said, that's an addiction. And I said, what am I addicted to? He goes, you're addicted to kind of being in the bad place of being the girl that who's the best friend, but they don't want to fuck you. And you keep putting yourself in that category because that's how you see yourself. And I was like, so busted. So now when it would come up again, I'd be like, no, I want to get fucked. I want to be with people who are attracted to me. I don't want to be like, because that was a very adolescent thing. Like, I'm sure that started in high school. You know, kind of lingering around the hot guy and becoming the indispensable best friend. And the truth is about men, when they're into you, they text back right away.
Right.
Yeah, they will book an appointment when boys are. And that's what changed for me when I was like, I'm not going to do that anymore. Then I did find all the boys that liked me.
Right.
You brought them in the yard, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Shakes. But you have to be in that space where you feel like you can be that girl. That I can be the girl that guys like. There's lots to like about me.
Yeah, and you found a good one too. Jamie is one of the. It's weird. The reserved people are some of the most shady bitches in the world, and she is so funny and so cunning and so witty. She reminds me of Kimchi. She's got like this humor that just comes out of nowhere.
And we've been together 19 years, so it was because we were together and for a year, and then I broke up with him. Because he said he wasn't sure that he wanted to be in a long-term relationship. And I said, well, I'm sure, so fuck off.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
And then we got back together.
I think with this guy, I would wait until I saw him to tell him I had feelings if I was him. Because over the phone, it's like, what are you going to do? Switch to FaceTime and jerk off? Like, wait till you could do something about it. Otherwise, shit or get off the pot. Like, don't, you know, no need to play pen pals at this point. Y'all know you want to fuck when you see each other. He told you to come visit. You know what that means. That means no beans or corn 2 days before and go do it.
I think, you know, I think that this is a 50-50 chance. So just kind of like blow your wad and then now you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Y'all, that's really good advice. H, thank you for writing in. And ladies, thank you for your amazing advice. And thank you so much for listening to Hot Goss.
And thank you so much, Alec, for coming and being our little tip spot.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for having me. I adore you both. I can't wait to see you after all our vaccinations kick in. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Alec Mappa. Listen to me at the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast with Priyanka. Oh. Or my mental health podcast, Alec Mappa Hot Mess with Matthew Dempsey, psychotherapist, who is the mortal enemy of Willem.
Please
we have to have you on the show and unpack that. It'll be great.
I would love to. That would be the behind the beatdown that I would definitely subscribe to and watch.
Absolutely.
And so
I
many
love
people
you
would
both.
Love to.
And Big Dipper, so great meeting you. You big set.
Yeah, great to meet you too. Thank you.
Now, if you bring two forms of ID to the office, they'll get you checked out after last call. Thank you so much for coming. We just need to settle up at the bar first. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
If you have any questions, you can send us your questions to racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. And a reminder for you, we have an upcoming live stream event. It's called Are You Smarter Than a Roo Girl and a Meatball? Monday, April 19th at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. We are going to be raising money to help save our favorite bar in Los Angeles, Precinct. We have an amazing lineup of special guests competing with us. Katya Zamolachikova, Mayhem Miller, Queen of the Party, Meatball, and Bob the Drag Queen.
Word. Yeah. Go to racechasertickets.com to get those tickets. It's going to be a fabulous show. And we have lots of bonus content available too at patreon.com/Willem.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find that content by using the hashtag racechaser in the little search thing. But just scroll, you'll find them. It ain't hard.
Yeah, and we'll continue to release some of our Patreon content from 2019 for free now on YouTube. So make sure you're subscribed to both Willem and Alaska on YouTube. Hit the bell so you get the notification.
You can hit that bell. Hit the bell. Mm-hmm. You can follow us on Instagram at Willem, at the only Alaska 5000. At Race Chaser Pod and at Mom Podcast. Honey, we're a conglomerate from down south. He's like a ragamuffin come in his mouth.
The conglomerate, putting the glam in conglomerate. Okay, that link on Instagram at Race Chaser Pod also has lots of resources and places to donate money in support of the Black Lives Matter movement and a link to AAPIP.org and their resource directory to help combat increased anti-Asian violence.
Hey, and if you're listening, please wear a mask, wash your hands, and stay safe and healthy. We can't afford to lose the listeners.
That's right. We'll be back next week with more
piping, steaming, scalding, burning, hot goss.
Hot Goss is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is graciously provided by ATF Enterprises.
This Goss is hot.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.